A victory Monday, Patriots Monday here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us today. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, live from Gillette Stadium. Following a victory for the first time in over a month, we can say that here as we bring the show to you live. We'll be talking with, by phone, because the players aren't here today, we'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett at 2:30. We'll be talking with Jonathan Jones at 3 o'clock. That is, of course, you know,
subject to change.
Schedule all holds up here, but I think it will, and I think that's around when we'll be talking with both of those guys. In the case of Jacoby Brissett, a big game for him, a game-winning drive, a big day, I thought, for Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo and the coaching staff. Much more creative play calling than I think we've been used to, mixed in more runs. Not a great overall day is Drake May getting popped in the head there by that same guy, that Sherwood guy again. Remember I told
yes.
you, watch out for Sherwood.
The Forest.
Watch out for that British guy, Sherwood. He's going to come up and he's going to factor into this. He's the guy who hit him in the first Jets game, had that sack on him where he gave him the rock bottom, and then here he is coming right over the top. And listen, I don't know if that was a dirty hit or not. We can get into that. I don't think he necessarily meant to do it, but you have a quarterback going into a slide. You have a guy not pulling up. He did try and go over the top, but he did get his head, and that led to him leaving the game. Drake May with a concussion. Not right away, though, which I think is something that needs to be discussed as well. But first, let's go ahead and start with your main takeaways from an unlikely win at Gillette Stadium yesterday, Andy.
Just mixed feelings. It was like a Rich Keefe Sunday drink beverage. It was all mixed up. I didn't know what to – like, Drake May I loved. I thought the Josh Allen comparisons were on full display in that first quarter. Him running for the touchdown, the throw that didn't count. Maybe there's a little Patrick Mahomes there from a few years ago in the Super Bowl when everybody was raving about incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to rave about that throw that hit Thornton in the chest. That was a great play. Then he gets hurt. Then Jacoby Brissett comes in, plays well, give him credit. You win the game. I wasn't rooting against them. I don't know if I was necessarily rooting for them to win it, because now you're dropping down. You see Carolina, you're like, wow, they really stink. They're going to get the number one pick.
Looks like it.
You could end up with, who knows, you got more winnable game next week. I just... all torn up, but I think for Gerard Mayo, not necessarily anybody else, not the Patriots in 2024 or even the organizational rebuild or anything, for Gerard Mayo in a, I guess it's an 8-day span, Sunday to Sunday, everything that went on, the totality of the soft comments, yep, and the walk it back from soft comments, the coach Stacy told me to just focus on the Jets comments on Friday, I thought Gerard Mayo, that was a big win against the Jets. And it even elicited some responses, like J.J. Watt, who was very critical of him, immediately was like, Coach Mayo got it done. Mm-hmm. Team played for him. And it was a resilient win. Now, I'm going to steal the phrase I used in their last win, which was way, 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 way back in week one. You had a willing foe. The Jets blow. They have, in all senses of the word, coaching, quarterback play, culture, they stink. And they played the willing victim for you, and you needed that.
I wanted to wait a little bit before digging into the Jets here because I don't want it to be the main
agreed
thrust of what nope happened yesterday. And I think what you said first is true. I think this was a win mostly for Gerard May. I mean, it yep was the biggest win for him. I'd put Alex Van Pelt up there too because I thought the play calling was much more inspired and much more creative, and it seemed like he was just doing things differently than he had the previous 6 weeks, and it paid off for him, and it looked like the offense was operating at a better level, and really all the drives that stalled out because of big drops from the wide receivers,
yep,
who we also have to talk about, which is, again, something I want to postpone a little bit here because it's a negative, and they did win the game, but between the Jets and the timeouts, I've never seen a team take three timeouts in the first quarter, and none of the timeouts were an injury timeout before. I don't think I've ever seen that.
It was ineptitude on full display, and they kind of pointed fingers back and forth. Ulbrich was very, you know, operation, but that includes Aaron. He
right
made sure to put the quarterback's name in there, his Hall of Fame quarterback's name in there, which Rodgers, I thought, might get a little spicier after hearing that, but he wasn't really. He kind of went detail by detail. Oh, this happened and that happened. But they are a mess, those timeouts. The delay of game on the two-point conversion with the game on the line. Basically, the game's on the line there. And then it almost seemed like they get the penalty, so they go from the 2 to the 7.
Right.
And it's like they ran the same play.
Yeah.
Which would have worked at the 2.
Yeah.
Would have worked at the 2. It would have been a two-point conversion. But now you're at the 7. You can't run the same damn play. They are a mess. But forget... we thought the Patriots were a mess.
I think that ayahuasca has ruined his mind. I think it's
something
ruined his
has
brain.
Like, I don't,
he can't, you know, like
it
he
might
can't
be
count anymore.
I don't think he cares.
Maybe
I don't
not
think
yeah
he's invested. I've been talking about this for weeks, that look. And we have the lights here, and it's just like that. like staring off dismissively into the lights. Like, I don't know where he's at, but you're right. We shouldn't be talking about the Jets. We can get into that. We can also leave that for Mike Greenberg and Mike Francesa and all those on that side of things.
it's been fun hearing them. I'll definitely agree.
But the Patriots won. Like, Drake May looked good. Drake May leaves. And I heard one of our predecessors, whatever you want to call him, Jones and Keefe, and I forget which one it was, say, this was perfect Jacoby Brissett. I don't want to see him play 17 games. I don't really want to see him start week one. But when I need a guy to come in and not let the wheels fall off and make a couple plays, that throw late to Booty is a great play.
It was.
Whether he saw the blitz or not, don't care. He took the hit. He stood in there. He delivered it. Booty made the catch, the whole thing. And you needed that probably as a team. You know, as much as I am in I was trying to look up. I put up a poll, by the way. Everybody liked the win. It was like 71% last I checked it.
I voted yes. I liked it.
Everybody liked the win. And I did offer up nope, wanted the pick, but also mixed feelings.
Right.
So that was only like 28, 29% combined, both at around 14%. So everybody likes the win. I do think part of it was it's the Jets and kicking them while they're down, stomping them while they're down.
I'll admit that's a big part of it for me. You know, this wouldn't matter if they did this to the Titans.
What if it were like Cleveland and Cleveland passed you and jumped you in the standings? Would you care? Probably not.
No.
Like, it's the Jets. You like kicking the Jets.
I don't like Cleveland. You know, I don't like Watson or whatever, but like he wasn't playing last week.
Right.
So yeah, the Jets are a different
special
thing. Jets are special. It's maybe that's just, you know, all the years of Belichick hating them. But yeah, it being the Jets definitely made it different. And one of those things where it's like, okay, you can sacrifice the draft pick or a spot or two. If you
still
look at Tankathon
feelings
right now, the Patriots have the third overall pick. It goes Carolina, Tennessee, Patriots next opponent, the Patriots, and then at four, the New York Jets. So, yeah, this was a season where, and there was a meme going around with Michael Scott shaking hands with his old boss
with
the long hair. It's like, no expectations whatsoever, Patriots. Highest expectations in a decade, the Jets, 2-6. They're both 2-6, and that's what they are. And listen, I think that the Patriots are still going to have a very good draft pick this year. I think it's probably going to be top five. But even if they win four games, five games even, I don't think they will, but even if they do, and they're picking sixth or seventh or something like that, I think there's going to be at least three teams at the top who are going to want quarterbacks. Carolina's going to want a quarterback.
Yep.
Tennessee's going to want one. The Jets might want a quarterback.
Oh, no, I think they absolutely are going to be in QB and coach search.
Vegas has the seventh pick right now.
Yep.
They're 2-6. They're tied with you. They could be in. They definitely need
problem
a quarterback.
Problem is there are no quarterbacks.
Well, maybe
who wants
not.
Who?
If there's four teams that are desperate for one, they'll figure out. They'll make one the guy they want it to be.
Oh, they will. And they'll
that's
make
what'll happen.
Multiples.
Yes.
Like, they talk themselves into teams. And the latest one is Nussmeier, the kid out of LSU.
Yeah.
I saw I'm drawing a blank on who it was, but a respected draft guy who just does draft, not a part-time draft guy, said he might have Nussmeier as the number one quarterback in this draft.
Wow.
And that's where we are. But
Shadur had a good week.
Shadur did?
Shadur had a good week.
And Shadur is good.
Yeah.
I think the baggage hurts Shadur more than the on-field physical abilities.
What if the Jets draft Shadur and Deion's the coach? That'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Awesome from our perspective?
That would be great. Come on. Jets week would be the best thing ever.
And you'd have it for 2 years before the whole thing crashed and burned and blew up, and they
probably
were back looking for coach and quarterback.
Although,
again,
in fairness, Colorado's bowl eligible. I mean, that whole thing turned around in one season, and now they're back in a bowl. That's
I know, but they have two of the best players in college football. They should be bowl eligible.
It's true.
They might
true.
Have the best college football player to come through in multiple years in Hunter.
Yeah, well, that
you
all
should
I say
that.
All that to say this. If the Patriots are picking sixth or seventh, there's still going to be a bunch of top elite tackles and elite wide receivers.
Yeah, but you're not in the trade conversation.
Whatever. I mean, that's fine. If you get the guy that you want.
You're shrugging off two first-round picks if you're number one.
I don't know you get two first-round picks. You might. I mean, it might be the seconds. It might not be. It might be a future first-round pick, that type of thing.
I'll take that, too.
I don't know. That'd be fine to have, I guess. I wouldn't sneeze at it, but I'd be all right with the sixth or the seventh overall pick and just getting the guy that you want there, too, and not having to worry about making sure you get the right trade offer that you want. Either way, I think you're doing all right in terms of the draft pick. If they win, part of me wants to see them win at least four games just to shut up Mike Lombardi. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I kind of want to see. Don't you want to see that?
Absolutely.
Don't you want to see
that's the best argument yet.
Match what Belichick did in his last year and say, hey, guys, with your awesome run defense last year, we won the same amount of games you did, and I'm a rookie head coach.
Well, that's a reason to actually root for five, probably, because then Mayo gets his guarantee. He guaranteed more wins. Then they win five games, which is one more than Belichick, and you did it with a rookie quarterback / journeyman backup. I don't even know how it's going to play out in the coming weeks. Because that's the other factor in this game. I would be all in, I think, if Drake May had led the game-winning drive. And Drake May is making plays with the game. Because that is absolutely money in the bank, yep. value, experience. Because Drake May, I believe, got his first NFL victory while watching from afar because he's knocked out him. It goes to the starting quarterback, and he's right. the starting quarterback in the game. But there would be more value in this win to me for everybody, including the quarterback, if Drake May did it. Because now it's like it's starting that process. I mean, this might be the last game that Brissett wins with the Patriots. Who knows? Like, it's not going anywhere. He knows that. Actually, he doesn't know that, and we'll talk to him about that in a few minutes, about a couple little clapbacks or whatever you want to say sure. to the media about how hard it is to win and faith that they may or may not have in him. But he deserved it,
and
right?
Now he's glad he didn't listen to us.
Yeah.
And that he, you know, believed in himself. And hey, listen, you win the game, you can take all the victory laps that you want. He earned that. He earned every single Absolutely. Bit of that, just like I feel like he earned every single bit of criticism in the first 5 weeks that he played. He didn't play well. I mean, come on. What are we supposed to do?
Oh, well, and we praised him in week one.
It's true.
We praised him sort of in week two, and then it kind of really went south.
Yeah.
I feel like we just mirrored the action on the field. We said what we saw. It's not, it wasn't personal. I mean, I feel like everybody always said, oh, he's such a nice guy, but ... Like, he stinks, he can't move, the rush, the whole thing, mm-hmm. and miss throws, whatever. So I don't think it was ever personal, but if he wants to put a chip on his shoulder and then go in there, well, first of all, and see Drake May concussed and be like, hey, guys, anybody going to look at the quarterback who's acting funny over here, and it's not me, it's him, and I'd like to play today, so maybe take him into the tent, and I'll go in the game and reignite my career.
He was right up there, huh? Like, after the hit, you saw him right up there. He's got the hat on. He's talking to the coach. He was engaged in whatever was happening there.
He was active earlier. Or maybe, yeah, earlier with Mayo. Very like.
Yeah, they were talking a lot, yeah.
And I don't really. I mean, I'll add that to my list. What okay. were you talking about before you went in with Mayo?
The other thing is, when May took that shot from Sherwood, he was down for a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't pop right back up. He was down, and his teammates came over, and they were standing around him, and there was a minute there where you were like, oh, wait a minute. Did he actually get hit? Because in real time, I didn't think he touched him.
I thought he missed him.
In real time, I thought he jumped right over him, and he didn't touch him, and everything was fine, and he was just going to get up and run the next play. And instead, you're like, well, wait a minute. What happened there? They showed two replays. They showed one where you couldn't see anything. It was like this front view, and you couldn't see anything that was happening. And then they showed the one that everybody saw where he's coming across this way, like coming towards the camera. And you see, he gets him. I mean, he did. He got him in the back of the head. And this is a play that in real time, a lot of people didn't notice. The concussion spotter didn't notice. They sent him right back out there.
I find a little weird.
Do we find it weird anymore?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. After the Sam Darnold thing in the end zone, after the Gibson face mask, like, there's a whole crew of men out there who are supposedly all very good at their jobs, know where to look, you know, and have good eyes, and they miss everything. So, as you said, depending on the angle, this was sort of an easier one to miss, even though when you see the replay, then you're like, ooh, that's bad. Because I do think that's bad, despite Ed Reed's conversation with the Mannings last week when he was describing how concussions happen.
Right.
It doesn't surprise me when you get hit there. Like, just even to put your head down, like, that feels uncomfortable. And to take a blow to the back of the head like that, it does not surprise me that it left him, didn't leave him incapable of playing because he kept playing.
Right.
It left him incapable of passing the protocol when he actually got put in it.
Yeah, and I think a conversation at some point has to be had about this because this isn't the first time this year that you've seen a quarterback go into a slide, get hit on his way down, and there's no flag on the field or anything, and then, you know, guy's knocked out of the game.
And then whatever. I have to bitch at all the fans, hear the fans bitch, if that was Patrick Mahomes, the guy'd be kicked out of football forever. I'm so sick of the Mahomes syndrome around here. So sick of it. And part of this is I hear it in my own house. My damn son is the bitchiest Patriots fan that's ever existed. And he got mad last night in the 49ers game because they were making comments relating a Purdy play to Mahomes. They're like, it's not exactly Patrick Mahomes, but Brock Purdy moving around a little bit, something we've talked about.
Sure.
And he's like, why? Every quarterback does that. Why they got to talk about Mahomes? Stop talking about Mahomes. He's not in this stupid game. Like, Patriots fans are hung up on Mahomes, and it's not healthy.
Sounds like it. I didn't realize
that. Oh, yeah, Fitzy. All the you peoples that I talk about
are
hung up on Mahomes.
Interesting.
Hung up.
Scared. Scared about where he's going.
Oh, absolutely.
Scared of the trajectory that he's on.
Yes, and the notoriety that he's getting and the fact that their guy is done, so he can't continue to sort of defend himself with his play and his activity on the field, and if anything, he's doing now, he's not very good at, so that's kind of losing a little luster
Fair,
on him.
Fair, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're freaked out about Mahomes, and you just sent one of your players to them.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Also sad, too.
That just happened today. Josh Uche has been traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, in case you didn't hear it, for a sixth-round pick. That is going to be for the upcoming draft, 2025 draft. The Chiefs now get a mediocre pass rusher, I think is fair to say.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
he did have a good year 2 years ago.
With Judon
on the other side. It was Judon's last healthy year.
Line him up behind Chris Jones, and he might have some plays. You know what I mean? Like, he can get the sloppy seconds. He's never going to be the guy that leads to the play, in my opinion. But and Spags is a good coach. He does more out of pass rushers, more
that
out of
that offense
guys.
Isn't doing anything this year.
Oh, no, the defense
is the reason why they're undefeated.
And he's joining that party. Yep. And, I mean, he's guaranteed to go to the postseason. So, for him, like, I'm going to the postseason, and I'm going to be a free agent because he signed a one-year deal. I think it's great for him. Personally, and I heard people bitching about the return on investment. Like, you got a sixth round pick. I don't really care when it is. I that's actually a round higher than I thought. Now maybe that's because it's delayed to 2026.
Right.
It's really a seventh round pick.
And he's also rental because he's only got one. It's just 1 year. Right.
But I just want assets, and I like that Mike Giardi put out a tweet. We can get into this later. Basically, the Patriots are open for business.
Yeah, let's get into that now.
Love it.
Because I think that's an important
Elliott Wolf's a
here.
Fraud, but I like it.
You win a game, all right? You're 2-6, and you're like, yeah, that's
for
great.
Sale, baby.
Nice win, but let's start getting on with our lives here. I don't know exactly who that's going to mean. I don't know if Kendrick Bourne has a tremendous amount of trade value after that last game. Bourne was the one guy who didn't really make a jackass out of himself over the last couple of weeks. He was the guy I thought was supposed to be the adult in the room.
Looked like a seal trying to catch the ball.
He couldn't catch the bus. Like, it was unbelievable. I like Kendrick Bourne. I don't know. I don't know if he was one of those guys. The rumors about him getting traded to the Niners. I don't know if anybody wants him after that. Like, on a team in a wide receiver room where no one can catch the ball, he stood out last night. And that's
Booty was bad.
I should say Booty was bad, but he redeemed himself.
Thornton was bad.
And Thornton only had the one drive. I mean, he picked up a big third down at the end of the game.
Biggest play of the game. It could have been like another one of my recruiting
Bourne
videos.
Bourne was 0-for-3. He didn't catch one ball.
Well, he's
with three
drops.
Okay, fine. He's back, though. And he's been back for about a month. So, I'm sorry. Like, that's...
Well,
that
it takes
me,
a full year.
It takes a whole year, then.
It takes
fine.
A full year to get all the way back. But I would basically... If I'm Elliott Wolf and somebody says, hey, Elliott, it's whatever, Joe Douglas from the Jets. I wanted to talk to you about wide receiver. If they say wide receiver, I'd say yes. I would just... Even DeMario Douglas, I'm starting to think we overrate. Am I wrong?
I like that?
That
screen in the beginning of the game.
Yeah,
he had the screen, and then I don't think he looked his way again.
Right? Yeah. Like, I don't. And he's the guy that I'd like to keep, but I do think right now the classic. All these receivers are fighting to stick around.
Yep.
Because you may need to get 4, 5, 6 new receivers in here somehow over the next 12 months.
Yeah.
For Drake May, and I know the high end ones, the first round pick, the $100 million guy, but I'm talking about the next layer. I don't know if I want any of them. I don't know if any of them have long. Baker, okay, you're finally active. Thornton feels like he's playing his way right.
I think that's
town.
Probably it for Thornton, but you know. We'll
but
see,
any of them, like Booty,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you made a catch late, a couple catches late to win the game. I'd like you to be more consistent than that, especially if you're going to be popping off about having to ask for the ball or getting the ball. Well, you know how the best way to get the ball is? Catch it when they throw it to you.
Right.
They'll throw it to you again when you drop it. No one wants to throw it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that this wide receiver room is. A work in progress at best.
I heard Jones and Keefe talking about this. They said, well, what's a more urgent need right now? If you're picking in the draft really high, what would you rather have, a wide receiver or a tackle? And I think right now you have less tackles on the roster. Like, you don't have a lot of bodies there, but I'd still go wide receiver just because what you have a lot of bodies, but do you want any of them? Like, do you want any of these guys to stick around? If all of these guys were off the team next year, would that bother anyone?
No, absolutely.
You think
not.
It would bother Drake May even? Like, I don't think anybody would be all that upset about it.
No, especially if he found out
jersey sales over here wouldn't be affected very much.
Who has any of their jerseys?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no real loss. You know, you just start over with a new batch, and you hope that the next 4 or 5 guys aren't all wrapped up in their own stuff like these guys.
The only thing I would say is, I think we're getting to the point where Verdarian Lowe, we're kind of like. Talking ourselves into maybe he's not that bad kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'm doing
there.
That. Yeah,
but that doesn't mean I want him to be Drake May's left tackle for the foreseeable future.
I think you can do better, but you might be able to do better in the third round, or you know, if
like Cade
find
Wallace,
a guy. Sure. Well, you know, you actually Leighton pick
Robinson.
A left tackle this time, like Washington did,
or all these other Jags. Who I don't even know who the guys they got the last three. The middle of the draft is not where you get elite tackles. You want an elite tackle, you take him in the first damn round.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But I also
and Drake
think
May, I think, can make receivers better than he can make tackles better, even though I think he can make both better.
Maybe, but you don't have that guy on your team right now. You don't have a playmaker on your team right now.
You don't.
I'd say Vidarian Lowe is closer to the left tackle that you would like to have for Drake May going forward than any of these wide receivers are.
That's an interesting question.
I would say he's closer to what I would like to have. You know, if you're talking like long term, this is going to be your left tackle. Vidarian Lowe, I'd rather have him there than any of the wide receivers that are in the room right now.
I don't know.
To upgrade one or the other.
I mean, Booty, if you look at it, yesterday the drops were an issue. I'm not saying they weren't. But he won the game for him. Big catch and then short catch, which I think was a touchdown. But he didn't get it. They gave it to Stevenson, which I wasn't sure it was a touchdown.
I didn't think Stevenson got in.
I think they screwed both of those
doesn't
up.
Doesn't matter. Just like they screwed up those pass interferences in the beginning. They had one that clearly they missed, and then they had a makeup call.
It was absolutely.
And then they walked him right into the end zone after that. That was ridiculous.
But Booty has been, obviously, the deep ball touchdown in the first game, then the deep ball down the left sideline. He's made some plays.
Made some plays, but you don't think you can find that guy out there somewhere?
Who's
also not going to whine and complain about not getting the ball?
Oh, I don't know. They're all Divas.
Maybe.
And
yeah.
I still am not giving up on DeMario Douglas. I think if you asked Drake May, I think Booty and Douglas would be like, if he were like the GM that got to pick the keeper league guys, I think he'd probably say, I'll keep Douglas and I'll keep Booty. The others do what you need to do.
What about Vidarian Lowe? I mean, if you're talking about who's on the roster
the guys
right
that
now,
are here, absolutely.
Of
he's
the guys
the keeper.
Right now, he's way up above them, I'd say.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that means he's a starting left tackle in the National Football League.
All right.
You know who he is? He's a swing tackle.
Yeah.
He's like Jacoby Brissett. You don't feel terrible
ideally, he's probably
if Vidarian Lowe comes in because your left tackle got hurt. I'm not sure I want him for 17 games, and he's also been a little injury prone.
That's true. Yes, he has. We will be joined in the next segment by Jacoby Brissett, who'll be calling in, so we'll talk to him, get his take on that drive at the end of the game, and everything going forward, if he knows what's going on for next week, and any other questions that we may have for Jacoby Brissett. That's all coming up right after Stiz tells you what's trending.